From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Chris Cherniak. Nell Larson is away today. The Utah State Legislature wrapped up their winter session a few weeks back. Surprisingly, they got a few things done with respect to the environment. Joining me in the first part of the show to discuss this will be Matt Pacenza, Executive Director of Heal Utah. Matt will summarize the wins, losses, and draws with respect to such issues as air quality, wood-burning fireplaces, transportation, building codes, and energy. We'll also discuss an event Heal has scheduled down at the Salt Lake City Public Library on April 1st. Then in the second half of the show, Paul Murphy from Rocky Mountain Power will stop by to discuss a couple of initiatives they have going on or are about to launch. These include the third annual WattSmart Video Contest, the WattSmart Starter Kits, and my favorite, the See You Later Refrigerator Recycling Program. All of that and some news on the warmest temperatures ever recorded in Antarctica, how climate change will affect aspen groves, and why the weed killer in your garage, like your Roundup, was recently classified as a probable carcinogen. You can join in on the conversation with both guests today by posting to our Facebook page, KPCW This Green Earth, our connections with and impacts upon the environment. That's what This Green Earth is all about. Stay with us.
This is Tom Roney with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties, formerly Prudential Utah. We have been helping locals and visitors with their real estate needs since 1976 and are proud supporters of KPCW. More information can be found at bhhsutah.com or at one of our 14 offices throughout Park City.
The Kimball Art Center will be offering a Paint Your Own Stein art class at the Wasatch Brew Pub on Main Street on Tuesday, April 7th at 6 p.m. Bring a friend to the Brew Pub where you choose your own handmade stein to paint, learn a little something at the Brew Pub's Beer 101 class, and enjoy free appetizers. Tickets are $65 and can be purchased at the Kimball Art Center's website. The Kimball Art Center is a nonprofit organization and a KPCW supporter.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. My co-host Nell Larson is away on assignment this week. She'll be back next Tuesday. Heal Utah promotes renewable energy and protects public health and the environment from dirty air, toxic waste, and nuclear energy threats. There also are eyes and ears when it comes to the state legislature and their continuing efforts to craft policy and budgets, which may or may not protect our air, water, land, and natural resources. Joining us this morning to discuss the results of the latest round of legislative activity is Matt Pacenza. He's the executive director of Heal Utah. Matt, thanks for joining me this morning on This Green Earth.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, let's just have a rundown, first of all, the bills that passed that Heal kind of categorizes them as successes, and then we'll get into those bills or so that were kind of maybe described as losses, and maybe then look ahead and see what's happening in the next legislative session. So I'll just kind of run down through the bills that you guys categorize on your website. Let's start with Bill HB 226. This one was about the air quality rules, and I think the state's ability to set regulations that are more stringent than federal regulations?
Yeah, that's correct, Chris. And I do think this bill passing would be, you know, the single most positive accomplishment of this past legislative session. Basically, Utah's had this arcane and troublesome bit of law for, gosh, I think 20, 25 years, which basically forbid state regulators from making any rules that were, quote, more stringent than corresponding federal rules. So it meant that there was this really impenetrable ceiling that our regulators couldn't be bold and couldn't say, hey, you know, we have this kind of unique air quality problem in northern Utah's valleys with, you know, ringed by mountains, and you know, maybe there's every now and then we need to go ahead and you know, propose a rule that would be tougher and stricter. That they've been sort of forbidden from doing that. So Representative Becky Edwards, a Republican from the Bountiful area, was a real champion over multiple years, and clean air groups, including HEAL, worked real hard, and we're pleased to report that ultimately the bill got kind of modified a bit, but in ways that are no big deal, and it ultimately did pass. So that I think, is probably the single biggest achievement of the past session.
Well, what was the change? Because like you say, this bill has been offered up in several past sessions. What was the change here?
You know, it's hard to say, Chris. I think sometimes that when things come forward that are significant changes, it just sort of is a natural progression where they take a few years, where there's sort of an initial resistance and you slowly educate people and slowly get them on your side. So I'm not really sure if there was any magic formula. I think maybe we just wore them down, Chris.
And that is part of a formula too, Matt. So, for example, there are federal standards for ozone that the state, you know, does its best to comply with. So are we saying now that the state has the latitude to set standards that would be less than the federal standard for ozone levels?
No, so you have to distinguish between some of the words kind of are hard to distinguish between because they can mean the same thing. But the things we're talking about here would be strategies to meet those goals, basically. So it is up to the feds to say, okay, Utah, you know, your summer ozone level has to be, you know, this many parts per million, and your winter PM2.5 levels have to be, you know, this many, you know, micro whatever per whatever. And then the state of Utah sets about to try to figure out how to get there. And it's the strategies, it's the rules, it's the figuring out how to get there part that we've been, you know, hamstrung. And so now, you know, we could go out and, you know, just give a few examples. We could order a stricter staff testing regimen on our industry. We could require our heavy industry to test what comes out of their stacks more often than the EPA requires. We could do that kind of thing. So it's about the strategies to hit the targets, which are really hard to meet. No one's proposing that we you know, try to make our air even cleaner than the EPA says. That might be nice, but politically that's not really in the cards in Utah. So it's about how we meet those EPA standards.
Okay. All right. Well, good. That's there's one for success column. Let's go to House Bills 17 and HB 110. They're kind of related. This involves vehicles, polluting vehicles and trucks.
Yeah, so that's a pair of bills that passed as well, one from Representative Patrice Arendt and one from Representative Lee Perry. And essentially the two of them more or less work together, and they offer us additional tools to crack down on vehicles that pollute a lot. And so when you look broadly at the world of the pollution that comes out of your tailpipe, one thing you find out is that a relatively small number of vehicles are responsible for a relatively large amount of pollution. And that's either because they're just kind of an old clunker that, you know, is just kind of continuing to drive even though it's, you know, things aren't working right within it. And then perhaps most disturbingly, there's this kind of weird trend where there's a certain anti-environmentalist who's deliberately, like, rigging or manipulating or retrofitting their vehicles so that it could pollute as much as possible. I don't know if you've heard of this phenomenon, Chris, but there's something called rolling coal.
No.
And, yeah, it's really weird, and I'm not making it up. I swear your listeners can go ahead and Google it. But there's a certain type out there who is so offended by the notion of environmental regulation and sort of hates the EPA and hates all that kind of stuff. So they will literally retrofit their vehicle so that I think upon sort of flipping a switch or something, it will belch black smoke. And believe it or not, when we had our big clean air rally at the Capitol on January 31st, there was a particular, I was going to use the word gentleman, Chris, but this doesn't quite feel like the right context for that word. There was a man who was circling the Capitol, belching black smoke and kind of yelling things. So it's a really weird thing, but it does exist. And essentially, these two bills would give authorities the ability to crack down on folks who are sort of visibly putting dirty smoke out. And one of them is about the penalties, and one of them is about title. So they're two related things. But, you know, it is important that we try to crack down on these offenders, even if it's some of them on purpose, some of them just because they, you know, have not aren't complying with the law about clean cars.
Right. But that individual may have inadvertently hurt his cause if he was circling the Capitol by showing that I can do this, so maybe we shouldn't be doing it. Maybe we should have some rules and regulations that forbid this. So
yeah,
maybe he actually heard his. But I never heard of that, rolling coal. Okay.
Yeah, you'll go ahead and read it, and you'll be flabbergasted. But I think when there was a story or two that circulated on places like Huffington Post, and I figured, well, that's probably just one doofus in Nebraska or something. But then I've seen them. I've seen him down here in Salt Lake when near Costco one day with my kids, and I'm like, what is that? And it was a big old truck belching black smoke. So that
purposely retrofitted their vehicle. These are adults, Matt, not six-year-olds, taking the six-year-old approach to anti-environmentalism. Okay.
Yeah, it's baffling, and I can't quite even wrap my head around it, but I do understand that. You know, we live in a country where there is an ideology of folks who really do think there's a lot of government overreach, and I can appreciate that. But wanting our cars to be clean so that our children can breathe seems relatively non-controversial, but I guess not.
No, all right, but there's a success with HB 17 and 110. Let's move on to HB 362. This again is another kind of transportation-related bill. It promotes something called active transportation, among other things. Give us a summary of that one.
Yeah, so, I mean, in the state of Utah, I think as folks know who, read the newspaper or listen to radio shows, that we don't do a great job of making sure we have adequate funding for a lot of things, but among those would be roads and transit as well. And so there was a package of sort of funding mechanisms that passed. This bill, among part of what it does is gas taxes for roads, but then another piece of it was to give cities and counties the ability to go to their voters and ask for an increase in sales tax. And the sales tax then gets divided up in a confusing way, so some of it will go to local governments for road maintenance, but some of it will go for everything from buses to the kind of active stuff you're talking about, promoting and increasing, folks that are biking and walking. So it's a nice chunk of change that for cities that are forward-thinking and counties who are interested in, everything, I suppose, from sort of bike lanes to shuttles that bring people from transit to their workplaces and places where they study. So it should be it should create a decent pot of change for some places to get folks out of their cars and into buses and walking and cycling.
Okay, that's great. And while we're on, you mentioned tax. The state is, I believe, planning to raise the state gas tax.
Yeah, I think they finally did come to an agreement on that, and it's there's been a lot of, reports and information that I can't remember the precise year, Chris, that we last raised it, but it was something like 95 or 94 or something like that.
Right, 20-some years ago.
Yeah, and essentially it's not an indexed number. It's a flat figure of, X cents per gallon. So, of course, in the intervening 20 years, there's been inflation, materials cost more, and then, of course, we have more drivers and more roads. And so the amount of money being raised year to maintain roads was not nearly adequate. So, it being Utah and the ideology of a lot of our elected officials, they were loath to raise any taxes. But I think ultimately, finally, sort of common sense won out that, look, you can oppose raising taxes, but that means you're sort of dooming the state to mediocre roads. And so
right. There
was a deal brokered to do that. Now, groups like Heal Utah are not, really in the business of being pro-roads and pro-cars, but you know, and we would have liked to have seen a healthier dose of money go to things like transit and active transportation. But, you know, something happened in the modest step in the right direction. So I think that's worth at least noting.
That's quite stunning, obviously, that this state would consider raising a tax. And the transportation tax, the gas tax, is higher here than the federal tax. You know, like most states, but people complain about the federal tax on gasoline. Well, the state tax here is even higher. I think it's going to go up to somewhere around 29 cents a gallon, where the federal tax is about 18 cents a gallon. So that
that's still lower than many other states.
It
I'm not positive about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still in the bottom half. So, okay. Let's keep going here. HB 285. This one's about building codes. And this one actually didn't pass.
Yeah, Chris, well, this is a really important one. And I think that we feel heading into the last couple days of the session that this was our number one priority to stop this bill. And basically, the real short version is that, you know, one of the most important things we can do, whether you're concerned about clean air, whether you're concerned about climate change, one of the most important things we can do is to have the cleanest and most efficient possible buildings. That when you have proper insulation and good windows and modern, you know, boilers and hot water heaters and furnaces with good thermostats and all that, you simply burn a lot less fuel to heat your home and to heat hot water and to cool your home. And so those are a real critical tool in both, you know, limiting the emissions that make air pollution, but then also limiting carbon emissions as well. And unfortunately, in the state of Utah, we haven't really embraced cutting-edge building codes.
Mm-hmm.
And the process that is currently in state law is, I believe, every 3 years, there's a commission that's set up, appointed by the governor, and they consider which parts of and whether to update Utah's code to this international code. And
right.
All the architects and builders listening to your show right now know exactly what that thing's called, but it's like the international something-something.
Right.
And every 3 years, we consider, you know, whether to upgrade to that and how much of it to match. And we don't do a great job. We've fallen behind, and that's something we need to address. And so it's been a recommendation of clean air groups, of the governor's clean air action team, of, you know, climate folks that worry about climate change. And instead of embracing moving in the right direction, we had a bill proposal from a representative, Wilson, who you'll be shocked to find out, Chris, is a home builder.
Yes.
And Representative Brad Wilson proposed that we actually delay the frequency with which we upgrade those building codes from every 3 years to every 9 years.
Oh.
And so it would have been, you know, once a decade that we would have had an opportunity to put in place codes that would make our homes and buildings more efficient. So it was a terrible step in the wrong direction, and it did get modified at some point in the process, I believe, to go from 9 years to 6 years, which was better but still bad. And then it just didn't pass at the very end of the session, and I think what we've heard is that it wasn't that, you know, I'd like to take credit and say, well, the reason it didn't pass, Chris, because Utah is amazing. But from what we understand, it actually kind of the clock ran out. So they, you know, Utah's legislative session has to be over by midnight on that Thursday, like,
right.
You know, and not a second passed. And this one was like just about to get its final vote and didn't.
I see. So it'll probably come up in the next session.
Yeah, I think that there's an excellent chance of that. And what will come up, by the way, is that we are at that 3-year cycle now. So this commission that the governor appoints is meeting, will be meeting over the coming year and debating this code, and then they will forward a recommendation to the legislature that would vote. And then, yeah, like you say, perhaps they would also consider this delay again. So we're really determined to make this a big issue. We're going to start getting involved in it and some other groups as well. And, you know, when you look at Utah, one of the things that makes us unique is that we're building a ton of housing stock here.
Right.
I grew up in upstate New York, and I think in all of upstate New York, they build like 4 homes a year. You know, it's just, there's so much housing stock, and it's just not a big push to build there.
Right.
But here, it's like we're adding, I don't know the exact number, but it's got to be tens of thousands of homes and units a year.
Yes.
And so that provides us with a really great opportunity, which is to make sure that every single one of those housing units is is really modern, efficient, and saving as much energy as possible. And by the way, one of the maddening things about this is that it's really, really good for the people who live in those homes. It's a modest cost on the front end, which pays back pretty quickly in reduced bills. And so it just feels like one of these like market-based win-win-win kind of things that the Utah legislature should love. But what we've discovered, unfortunately, is that the home builders lobby and the realtors lobby is a piece of this as well. They're just really resistant to anything. They don't like being told what to do, Chris.
Yes, I guess that's part of the response, because it's baffling that they wouldn't embrace the opportunity to kind of almost separate themselves from other home builders and say, look, this is the kind of home we're going to build. We're going to build more energy efficient, better insulated homes beyond code. And yeah, there's a little premium for that, but I think more and more homeowners and future homeowners recognize the value, the economic value of a better insulated, better lit, more energy efficient home, but the home builders don't get it. And I've experienced that here.
Like you say, there are definitely some who do, and there was, I'm just going to name a company, but there's one called Garbett Homes here mm-hmm. in the Salt Lake Valley, and perhaps they've got some units up your way as well, and they really pushed hard for better things on this, and they really pride themselves on building these super efficient homes, and they're not the only one. There's some other ones out there as well, so that's part of our challenge, is that we're going to, you know, really work with those folks and say, hey, you know, is this home builders lobby representing you? You know, are they representing all the good folks out there who are building, you know, modern green homes? And so hopefully we can, you know, talk some common sense there and beat off not just this bad approach that almost passed, but even perhaps institute some better approaches.
Well, I'm Garbett Homes. That's their name. I'm going to reach out to them. And
they build a bunch of units down here in the Salt Lake Valley, and they've you know, they really, really embrace this, not just the efficiency stuff. They also do a bunch of rooftop solar and that kind of thing. So they're kind of one of our progressive green builders for sure.
Good. Hey, if you have a few more minutes, Matt, I want to chat some more about some of the bills that didn't pass. Do you have a couple more minutes?
Sure, but
we're at the bottom of the hour, so I want to take a break for a couple of sponsors and underwriters, and we'll come back. We're speaking with Mac Pacenza from Heal Utah about the latest legislative session and some of the environmental bills that were passed and not passed. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. It's This Green Earth.
Ooh La La, the Hot Sardines delivers straight-up sizzling jazz at the Eccles Center Saturday, April 11th. A killer bass lineup, a no-holds-barred piano, standards from the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Forbes calls the Sardines one of the best jazz bands in New York today. Catch this incredible band on its first tour here in Park City. Concert starts at 7:30. For tickets, call 655-3114. Brought to you by the not-for-profit Park City Institute, entertaining, educating, and illuminating since 1998, and a KPCW supporter.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues, concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. With me on the phone is Matt Pacenza. He's the executive director of Heal Utah, a nonprofit organization. What is your mission, Matt, in one sentence,
you know,
or two?
I think you said it pretty well at the top of the hour, Chris, but it's to promote renewable energy and to protect public health and the environment from nuclear, toxic, and dirty energy threats.
All right, and we're going to get to a nuclear toxic dirty energy threat in a minute with respect to one of the Senate bills that was passed. Let's look at some of these bills that passed that I guess Heal considers, well, you'll say bad news. HB 265 and HB 49. They would put a small fee on the purchase of tires in Utah to raise money for clean air programs, but that didn't pass.
Yeah, that's correct, Chris. And I think that, you know, Heal's been working on clean air pretty intensively, I think, the last three legislative sessions. And one of the things that ends up happening every session is that good bills pass, and there seems to be a desire to put programs into place. But then when it comes to the end of the session, they fight for dollars with a wide range of what are often really worthy programs. And so, you know, education and healthcare and all kinds of things. And there's just a limited pool of money from sort of the general fund to pay for them. And so we and some legislators just began to think about, like, well, what would be a reasonable and fair and appropriate funding mechanism to raise some money specifically for clean air programs? And basically, gas taxes probably would be the single most logical thing. Mm-hmm. But under the Utah Constitution, gas taxes can only be spent on roads. We have our hands tied on that front. So we started to think a little bit more and looked at some other states and came up with this idea of a modest fee on the purchase of a new tire. And we think that makes some sense. It makes some sense because the frequency with which you buy tires relates to the frequency with how much you drive, and it also relates to the weight of your vehicle. And so it's a reasonably appropriate and sort of fair fee that drivers would be paying, and it would be, you know, at $10 at most when you buy four tires. So it's not an outrageous amount of money, and it seems like, you know, it's reasonable and also would raise, I think we figured out, $7-8 million a year. And certainly in and of itself, that's not enough money to, you know, like, clean up the air forever.
Right.
But it's a nice chunk of change, and it would have, among other things, helped school districts buy cleaner school buses. So we were excited about it. This was the first year it came up. It didn't make it out of a committee. And I think we're seeing this as one of these kind of multi-year projects, and we're hopeful about, you know, working on it down the road. But we were certainly disappointed that it didn't even get past its first committee.
Well, like you say, this is its first year, and early on you said it takes some time and some education. Who's the sponsor?
It was Representative Rebecca Chavez-Houck from down here in Salt Lake City.
Okay. Well, I think you need to continue that one, and I think you will.
Think we will, too, and it's just a good one. I think it's just, you know, looking about it, it was one of the smarter kind of fee ideas that we could come up with. Another idea people put out there, and I do think this is worth considering as well, would be something relating to vehicle registration, because that would be another way to sort of peg the sort of how much a car would pollute. You know, you would make a you know, big old Chevy SUV pay a higher fee, you know, a Prius. But
right.
But in Utah, we have oddly high vehicle registration fees. I moved here from the Northeast 8 or 9 years ago, and generally I think Utah is a low-tax state. But I would say every time I go to register my vehicle, I'm sort of surprised how much it is.
Yes.
So we didn't think lopping another fee on top of that made a ton of sense. That led us to tires.
Right. Okay. So we got a couple more minutes. Let's talk about the two bills that were ostensibly written, as you say, by Energy Solutions, SB 244 and SB 173. They both passed. What were they about?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I think folks probably know, you know, Energy Solutions, the world's largest nuclear waste company, and they run the nation's largest low-level radioactive waste facility about 70 miles west of Salt Lake City, and we often call the West Desert, just past Tooele and Grantsville out there. And, you know, the company has a lot of influence in the state of Utah. They, as you may know, are the building in which the Utah Jazz play in, prominently carries their name, and then they have been a eager and high-volume campaign finance contributor for years, often the single biggest company contributing to legislators. So, you know, there are a lot of folks up there on the Hill do listen to them and are willing to carry bills that the company puts together. So there were two bills, and I think, frankly, the purpose of both of them fairly transparently is to save the company money. And one of them has to do with the amount of money that Energy Solutions pays into a fund that would pay to close and to maintain the site for several decades after it's closed.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been required to carry a pretty hefty bond to pay for that process. And I think they think it's too much. And so in a somewhat complicated, arcane way, they've essentially changed the process and the formula to determine how much money they'll have to put up for that fund and that bond. And we tried to raise some concerns about whether that was a good idea, but unfortunately that bill did sail through pretty easily. That was SB 173.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, SB 244, is merging two divisions of the State Department of Environmental Quality, and those two divisions are the Division of Radiation Control and the Division of Solid and Hazardous Waste. They'll not be merged into a new division, which I believe is called Division of Waste Management, and then it might have another word to. And on the face of it, I don't think that's the worst idea. Those two divisions do related work for sure, and the state offered the argument that there was some efficiencies to be gained in merging them, and I think that made some sense. The part of it that we really were unhappy about, and which unfortunately did not change, is that there's a board that governs these divisions, and that board right now has three of its nine members are appointed from industry. And for some strange reason, in the process of making the two divisions into one, they felt the need to stock the new board with even more industry folks. And so the ratio went from 3 out of 9, it's to 5 out of 12 now. And it's just going to make it that much harder for folks who are concerned about issues like hazardous waste and nuclear waste to try to pass any rules or get any sort of progress toward being more protective. So we're pretty unhappy about that. We fought that pretty hard. But unfortunately, like I said, that this company does have a lot of influence up there on the Hill, and, right. And they did prevail. So
okay.
It was a disappointment. I'll just say one more quick thing that we, in our nuclear waste work, we are looking forward to something that I would say we think of as even more significant, and that is a big decision that will come over the summer from Governor Herbert as to whether allow Energy Solutions to dump up to 700,000 tons of long-lived depleted uranium at that site. And that, to us, is the huge, game-changing, you know, pull-out-all-the-stops kind of nuclear waste fight coming up. So maybe I can come back on the radio in the next months or so and tell you all more about it. But that's the thing we're really gearing up for. And these legislative bills, we weren't happy with them. We think we had concerns, but they didn't quite fit in that category of sort of, you know, this changes everything.
All right. Well, we'll definitely have you on in a month or so to talk more about that topic. But for now, we really appreciate you taking the time to chat about, like, say, the wins and losses. Overall, it seemed fairly successful relative to other years, Matt, would you say? Fairly
successful? You know, I think I would describe it as sort of, you know, some positive steps forward, but some disappointments as well. So I think that one thing we're realizing is that I think the state legislature cares about air quality, but I also think they're loath to do hard things. And, you know, we didn't get into everything, but there's some stuff we would have liked to see them do that they kind of stepped back from. So we just need to work all the harder to convince them that, you know, it's not as simple as a few dollars and a few incentive programs, that we've got to contemplate, you know, some bigger moves. And so, you know, it wasn't a huge disappointment, but we're becoming aware of the walls that are ahead of us and trying to figure out ways to get around them.
Well, then, in that sense, Matt, your job and your staff job at Heal Utah is secure.
I think that's safe to say in
Utah. Yeah, exactly. Matt Pacenza, he's the executive director of Heal Utah. Website, real quick?
Yeah, it's healutah.org. And Chris, do you mind if I mention this event?
Yes. Go ahead.
Tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the main library here in Salt Lake City, that's the big, beautiful building on 4th South, we are hosting a panel discussion, basically. There'll be a representative of the Sierra Club, a representative of a renewable energy advocacy organization, and myself. And the three of us will be in that beautiful auditorium right there in the main library, and we're going to talk to you about coal power pollution and a current EPA program and a comment period that is super important, which we think we can take advantage of to try to crack down on coal power pollution. So we'll be talking about Rocky Mountain Power and their coal fleet and this EPA program and what we need to do about it. So should be a real interesting, engaging, interactive hour and a half tomorrow night, Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the main library. And if you folks can make it down, we'd love that.
Perfect. We'll do our best to get there. Again, thanks a lot, Matt, for taking the time to chat with me this morning on these issues. And we'll be in touch.
My pleasure.
You got it. All right. Let's take a break for some underwriters and sponsors, and we come back. Paul Murphy from Rocky Mountain Power will join me to talk about some of their latest energy efficiency initiatives and programs. It's This Green Earth. Stay tuned.
This is Alyssa Daly with Republic Services, a proud sponsor of This Green Earth on KPCW. Republic Services, along with Historic Park City, is providing a community shred day with an industrial shredder to quickly shred all confidential documents. We will be on Sweet Alley by the liquor store and KPCW studios Friday, May 1st from 9 a.m. to noon.
Hey, everybody, this is Summer Schlope, Olympic swimmer, now runner, and mom of two kids in the Park City School District. You know, I love showing my kids how to give back, be healthy, and have a great time while doing it. How? By running with Ed, the relay race on May 16th that raises money for our schools. I promise anyone from beginners to experts can do it. So grab your family and friends. Teams of 5 to 10 people are available. Plan your costumes, start your training. Go to runningwithed.com to register. Running with Ed is a project of PCEF, a nonprofit organization and supporter of KPCW.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, weekly talk show on environmental issues, concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak, and joining me in the studio is Paul Murphy. He is the External Communications Director with Rocky Mountain Power, and he's here to talk about some of Rocky Mountain Power's programs, initiatives, a contest.
Yes.
So be it.
Yeah.
Let's give away money.
We give away things.
You give away everything. And you give electricity too.
True. Sometimes we charge a small fee for that.
But these are efforts on Rocky Mountain Power's part to see if we can do a better job at how much electricity we consume.
Right.
So you have a couple of initiatives.
Park City, I mean, this is the place to try to save electricity. I mean, I think everybody is conscious that the cleanest energy that you can use is the energy you don't use, and so we are encouraging our. As strange as it may sound, we are encouraging customers to use less and less electricity.
And actually, we'll get to that. I want to circle back to that concept because people always ask me, like, why would a company that ostensibly sells a product want to sell less of a product? What's the value and benefits behind that? So we'll get to that in a minute. And yes, a shameless plug, I'm a member of the Summit Community PowerWorks, which is the organization that is pursuing the Georgetown University Energy Prize.
Oh, that's up here. A fantastic prize. I mean, and so some of the things we were talking about could conceivably help Park City win the $5 million energy prize from Georgetown University. So the more you save, the more chances you're going to win $5 million.
Exactly. Now you know why you're here, Paul.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that was part of the agenda, but it works.
Full disclosure now. But anyway, let's start with these free WattSmart starter kits.
Right. So if you're a Rocky Mountain Power customer, go to WattSmart.com and sign up for the free WattSmart starter kits. You'll get 4 CFL light bulbs, which use less energy. You'll get a high-performance shower head, which uses less electricity. And you'll get a kitchen and bathroom aerator, which uses less electricity. And I'm actually signing up for it today. I found out that for $4.99, instead of getting the CFL bulbs, you get the LED bulbs,
right,
which save even more energy. They last longer. They look better. And so I'm going to fork over the $4.99.
And I agree. Those of us on the Summit Community PowerWorks kind of lean towards that, as seeing that as a better value. $5 well spent for 4 LED bulbs.
4 bulbs plus bathroom fixtures.
Bathroom fixtures.
Amazing.
Okay. So that's WattSmart, and that's one S, right? WattSmart.
WattSmart.com.
Go there and you can sign up. Is that one package per address?
Package per an account. And so I have a couple accounts, and so I'm actually going to order several.
Okay. All right. So good.
You can do the same thing too. The only thing I needed was our account number, and my wife keeps track of all that. And so now I'm finally ready to sign up.
Otherwise, to go out and purchase those items individually is probably close to $30 or so.
At least.
Okay.
Yeah. No, so it's a great deal.
Okay. So that's the WattSmart starter kits. Let's talk about, this one's interesting, the Watt Smart Video Contest. This is the third year, am I correct?
This is the third time that we've done it. This is our third act, and it's the ACT Watt Smart Video Contest. And to find out more about it, you also go to wattsmart.com. But basically what it is people can make a video between 30 seconds and 60 seconds long. And if they're the grand prize winner, they get $10,000 in energy-efficient appliances or upgrades. Our two runner-ups get $2,500, and the public gets to vote, and that person could win up to $2,000 in energy upgrades or appliances.
Okay. So multiple winners.
Right.
Okay. And so what is the video? What are the kind of the parameters on the video?
Well, the video is make something creative. And just to show you, I was challenged to make a video, and I did two things that made me ineligible. First, I'm an employee.
Okay.
And second, I use copyrighted video from YouTube. And so my commercial will never make it into the contest.
Okay. So
But what we're looking is for people to make original content, make it funny, make it clever, make it help people want to save energy, make them think about being Watt Smart. And there's actually easy ways to do it. And so the past winners have been hilarious. And, you know, if you watch the Super Bowl, the funniest commercials are always the ones that are the homemade commercials. And so we want people to learn by making the video, but also to learn by seeing the videos. And so it's a fun way to remind people that it is actually easy to save energy.
Okay. What's the typical length?
Between 30 seconds to 60 seconds.
That's it.
It's
commercial length.
Right.
Okay.
And the last winner was a mom and her kids singing along on how to save energy. It was very clever.
Okay. And are those prior winners available?
They are. You can also see the prior winners at wattsmart.com. I think that's going to be our theme today. Go to wattsmart.com.
Yeah, go to wattsmart.com. What's the deadline?
The deadline is May 17th. And then the public can start voting on May 18th through May 31st, and then we're going to announce winners on June 16th. And so I'm looking forward to see all the entries because in the past they've been pretty funny.
That's great. Okay, so again, $10,000,
right,
for energy efficiency upgrades.
Right.
So that could mean everything from weatherization to purchasing appliances.
Exactly.
A more energy-efficient refrigerator or dryer. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, basically, people have sent us their bills from Lowe's, and it's
You
great.
Honor them.
Yeah.
Okay. Super. All right. So that's the Watt Smart Video Contest that goes from now to
May 17th.
May 17th.
Yeah. So basically, go to wattsmart.com, upload your video, and then the public can vote and see which one wins the prizes.
Again, is it one video per account?
Oh boy, that's a good question.
I
don't know for sure, but I would enter more if you have them. But
yeah,
I guess you could learn like I did, which ones will qualify and which ones don't.
Okay, all right, but that might be on the rules and regulations on the the wattsmart.com website. Okay, finally, the See You Later Refrigerator Recycling Program.
And I love that program. I just love the name of the program.
Yeah,
when I first started Rocky Mountain Power, I thought whoever came up with that name is a genius. But the See You Later Refrigerator Program is basically we will pay you $30 to take your old refrigerator away. And your old refrigerator, anything built before 1993, is using a lot of energy. The new refrigerators are a lot more energy efficient. So we're actually going to pay you money to get rid of it. But better yet, instead of paying you $30, you can donate that money to Utah Food Bank. And that $30 could feed 105 people. They are able to stretch the dollars much better than I can at home. And they're able to feed a lot of hungry people. And
right.
So we love teaming up with them and helping that program. And so you do actually three good things. You save energy, you save money, and plus you're helping the hungry here in Utah.
Right. So I have a very old refrigerator. I think it's pretty.
I think everybody has an old refrigerator in their garage that's for their pops or beers or whatever they're cooling.
Right. So go on the website again and register that? How do I notify you?
Yeah, basically I did it last year. You go to wattsmart.com and there is a number that you can call for the See You Later Refrigerator Program. Let's see if I brought it with me. I don't. So go to the website.
Right.
And you call them up. They make an appointment, and they come and pick up your refrigerator. And plus, they take that refrigerator, and they strip it down to the parts and recycle all those parts. And so I mean, it really is an environmentally smart thing to do.
Okay. Because otherwise, many times these refrigerators end up in the landfill.
Into the landfill, which we don't want. And so instead, right. we strip them down. We use all the parts into something else. And I think 95% of that refrigerator is reused.
And so you'll schedule, you arrange a time that's that's available to each, to the refrigerator owner,
right.
to come by and pick it up. And how long does this go till?
It's been going forever.
It's ongoing.
Yeah, it's just ongoing. Oh. We hope it will go forever. And so when I did it last year, we didn't have the food bank option. So I received a check in the mail for $30. But now when you sign up, you're asked if you'd like to have that money go to Utah Food Bank.
Okay.
And the great thing about Utah Food Bank is they have partners in every county in the state. And so if you're donating money from Park City, that money will go to help the people who are hungry here in Summit County. So
right.
So a great program.
So see you later, refrigerator. That's a great program. So now let's got a few more minutes. Let's circle back to the idea that all of these initiatives and programs, in effect, are designed to use less electricity.
Right.
I lower my bill.
Right.
I'm using less kilowatt hours. And Rocky Mountain Power promotes that. So
right.
why does Rocky Mountain Power want to promote less electricity consumption?
Yeah, now I'm starting to think about those old crazy owl commercials in New York. It says, we're crazy, we're giving everything away.
Right.
Actually, it helps us as well because it helps us. Right now, we have built enough power plants to supply our electricity needs for the next 10 years. But if people continue to use less electricity, we're not going to have to build additional plants. And in fact, we're not building additional plants because people have cut back their electricity use. And we're seeing year after year. And so our energy plans are relying on people using less electricity. And that's a great way to do business. I mean, it's less energy, less pollution, less costs. I mean, everybody wins.
Less perhaps maintenance on your substations or
right.
on the existing grid. Less wear and tear
right.
on the existing grid. And may I say then, perhaps if you're not building more, more possibility of retiring old plants.
Right. And in fact, on April 15th, we're retiring our carbon coal power plant. And
right.
So, and it had more life years left, but we looked at it. We looked at what it would bring, and we had brought in a natural gas plant, which makes half as much emissions as
right.
a coal plant does. And so we're replacing that with natural gas, which is better for the environment.
Right. Better for the environment. Like you say, less half the CO2,
right.
greenhouse gas-related emissions, and you know, no other residual metals that coal may have in it, mercury, et cetera. So you know, a win on a number of levels. So that's why Rocky Mountain Power, sees opportunity in us being more energy efficient.
Right. And I was just looking at the figures, and in the next 10 years, our use of coal is going to be going down from about 62% to 46%. And, you know, coal is still kind of the workhorse. It still gets the job done when you need low-priced, efficient electricity. And last week, I visited the carbon plant and the Huntington plant and saw the emission control devices that they put at the Huntington plant, and it's amazing the amount of emissions they were able to reduce just by the upgrades they added to the plant.
Right.
So,
okay.
So even though we're still using coal, we're still looking at ways to make it less environmentally.
So that percentage of going from roughly 62 to 37 is going to be a function of a number of things, including energy efficiency, maybe people just learning to consume a little less. And then swapping out older coal-fired plants with natural gas plants and maybe some renewables
and
in there,
renewable,
too?
Yeah. And so we actually do encourage a lot of people to we have a lot of people, they're called qualifying facilities. A lot of people are building wind projects in Utah, and we have a purchase agreement to buy that energy from them. And so we will be getting more energy from solar and from wind projects.
Okay, and does Rocky Mountain Power promote individual installation residential installation of solar power? Are there programs, either residential or commercial?
There are incentives, and we're part. We have the Blue Sky program where people can pay another $1.95 on their bill, and that goes to support renewable energy, and that's created a lot of Blue Sky projects in Park City. Park City has been very good at getting Blue Sky dollars to put solar panels on their Olympic facilities, on their fire stations, on their churches, their schools. I mean, Park City is ahead of the game when it comes to renewable energy.
Well, we like to think so, and that's why we thought it was advantageous to pursue this $5 million Georgetown University Energy Prize. We think we have the people and the motivation and the passion here to make a difference like that.
Yeah, so. And I've met some other people who are on seeking that grant, and I'm excited for you. I hope you get it. And
well, there's 50 communities around the country. Right. So Rocky Mountain. So there's several communities in the Rocky Mountain Power region.
Right. Is it Aspen and a couple other
mountain towns?
Aspen's
in it. Jackson Hole. I don't know if Jackson Hole falls on their RMP. Kearns is involved. And then a couple communities, I believe, in Oregon and Northern California, et cetera. So yeah, we're all competing. It's either a two-year program to see what residential accounts can reduce their electricity and natural gas use the most over a two-year period.
Let me give you one other incentive to save energy is that, the summertime, that's when more people are using electricity. And our rates are in three tiers. So the first 400 kilowatts cost about 9 cents. The next 600 kilowatt hours cost 11 cents. But if you go above 1,000, they cost 14 cents. And so if you use less electricity in the summer, you're going to save a lot of money. And especially with some of these bigger homes up in Park City, I mean, I would strongly encourage you to look at ways to install LED lights, energy-efficient appliances, weatherization, different things. There are ways you can truthfully save electricity, and we give incentives. I mean, we give incentives if you buy energy efficient appliances, if you buy an air conditioner or a swamp cooler that's energy efficient, mm-hmm. We'll give you money for that.
Okay, and it's all learn more about it at wattsmart.com, including the WattSmart starter kits, the See You Later refrigerator program, and the WattSmart video contest that continues through May 17th.
Right.
So Paul Murphy, External Communications Director with Rocky Mountain Power. Thanks again for joining us.
Hey, Chris, it's great to talk to you again.
And you know what? We'll try to get you back on when we announce the winners.
Okay, that would be awesome. Yeah, and if you could actually play some of the commercials, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do.
They'll be fun.
All right, super. Thanks again, Paul. Let's take a break for some an underwriter. And when we come back, it's time to wrap up. It's this. We'll be back.
The Glitter Tent at Stein Erickson Lodge is a proud supporter of KPCW. The Glitter Tent restaurant offers regional American cuisine with Chef Zane Holmquist's seasonal menus. Located mid-mountain at Deer Valley Resort, the Glitter Tent serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. Sunday brunch with live music. Reservations recommended. 645-6455.
Hi, I'm Maren Mullen, and I'm a Recycle Utah board member. Did you know that water conservation is what we're really all about, and you thought it was only recycling? We save your H2O. How? By encouraging you to recycle more, by teaching our students how to conserve water, and by making it possible for you to drop off hazardous waste at our collection events. Yep, we're all about saving your water, because we can't live without it. Recycle Utah is a nonprofit organization bringing conservation ideas to you since 1990. Check us out at recycleutah.org.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Hideout Canyon, Master Plan Community on the Lake, info at hideoutcanyon.com, Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. It's time to wrap up. But Lynn Ware Peak is here to promote her show tomorrow. What's on the show?
Hi, Chris.
Lynn?
Just popped in to talk about Wednesday at 9 a.m. on The Mountain Life. We'll be speaking tomorrow with Dan Rubenstein. He is all about, it's a new book, Born to Walk. Yes, it's all about the benefits of walking. We'll also be talking about anxiety and how to deal with anxiety tomorrow at 9 a.m.
And together, Life. The anxiety of walking, or is
one
it?
One relieves the other.
Okay.
Tune in to find out which is which.
There you go. Perfect. Hey, we got to thank our underwriters for who make this show possible. They include Recycle Utah, Republic Services, Vail Resorts, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, and San Francisco Design. Email us your thoughts and comments and ideas at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org. Remember, this is KPCW 91.9 FM, Park City, only in Park City, only on KPCW. Here's NPR News.
U.S. Naval Observatory.
People of all faiths from being violated by government action. However, under pressure from many gay rights groups, a Republican governor is directing the legislature to amend the law to clarify that no business has the right to discriminate against anyone based on their sexual orientation.
I don't believe for a minute that it was the intention of the General Assembly to create a license to discriminate or a right to deny services to gays, lesbians, or anyone else in this state. And it certainly wasn't my intent.
Penn says he wants an amended measure on his desk by the end of the week. The Prime Minister of Iraq is reporting that local forces have reached the center of the ISIS-controlled city of Tikrit today. Haider al-Abadi issued a statement saying that security factions had already retaken neighborhoods on the southern and western edges of the city and are expanding that hold to regain control of Tikrit. Iraqi forces launched a large-scale operation for Tikrit at the start of the month.